God is going to work in your life in economic difficult time. Fear is going to try to come and paint a bad picture of your future. But I believe it starts by looking at what you have and being thankful and grateful for what you have.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark, and I would love to extend an invitation to you if you do not have a church home. Maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while, or you just tuned in today. Come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. We're in 23 neighborhoods around Chicagoland. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us. Or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called God Economics: How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis. We will be in the second half of his message called Surviving Economic Crisis, and we'll continue on in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Here's Pastor Mark with another edition of Straight Talk.
I have seen young couples that first get married and they're struggling financially, and they say, well, we're starting off, that's why we're struggling financially. And they say, if we just had more. And then I run into them 10 years later and they're still struggling financially. They have bigger toys and bigger cars, but they have bigger debt because they never learned early on to manage their finances. It's like that in every area of life. It's just a biblical principle. What Jesus says is, he that is faithful with the little, I will give him more. He that is unfaithful with the little, then I will take away what he has and give it to another. It's a biblical principle. If you mismanage what you have, then typically what you have will leave you. I had it, I mismanaged it, it left me. But when I have what I have, I start managing it and I do it the right way, then God says I can give you more because you're managing it the right way, and I can increase it because you're not scaring it away, you're not making it flee, you're attracting more of it and using it right, and therefore I increase it. It's a biblical principle. It's that way in every area of life. It's that way with our finances. It's that way with our relationships. It's that way with our spirituality. It's that way with our family. It's that way in every single area of life. Listen to me. You say, my marriage is a wreck. I'm really struggling. We can't get along. We fight all the time. What we need are kids. Hello? Well, if we just had a little baby, it would make things a lot easier. Because then we'd be a family. No, all wrong. See, if right now you don't have kids and you're fighting like cats and dogs, let me tell you, adding a kid to the picture will not solve your problem. It'll just increase your chaos. A child isn't going to save the problem. And how many silly, naive, foolish 17-year-old girls think that way? They're losing their boyfriend, it's not going well, we're having trouble, and she thinks she'll really love me and really like me if I get pregnant and have his baby. And then when she's 21 and she's a single mother and he's nowhere to be found and can't get alimony, she realizes, you know, a baby wasn't the solution to this problem, because that doesn't solve things. If what we have, we do not manage well, then to add chaos to it doesn't help it anymore. And you say, okay, well, now we have one baby. You know, we're really struggling. We're really stressed out. What we need is another baby. That's not the way it works. You have to learn to manage what you have. You see, a great family is built on a great marriage. And a great marriage gives stability to the children. And as you develop the children, and it gives stability for their marriages and then their grandkids, and it builds on stability. What you have, you manage well, and then you increase what you have in a healthy way. That's the way it goes. With friends, it's the same thing. If God has given you some friends, then learn to have good friendships. If God has given you friends and you mismanage and you gossip and you backstab and you don't call and you use and you abuse and you say, what I need is more friends, God says, I gave you friends. You ran them all away. You ruined all your relationship. You don't need more friends. You need to learn to have good friendships with the few that you have, and then I will give you more. It works that way spiritually. God, give me opportunities. God gives you opportunities. You bash up the opportunities, mess them up, abuse this, that, the other. And then you say, I want more opportunities. And God says, no, start handling the little that you have well, and then I will give more for you to handle. That's the way it works in the spiritual realm. That's the way it works in the economic realm. That's the way it works all around in life. What we have, we look at what we have. Let me tell you one other thing about this. The solution to your economy, as I said, starts with what you have. I want you to stop saying, I'm struggling because I don't have enough. You need to start saying, God, this is what I currently have. Give me strength and power to manage what I have better. It's a change of mentality, isn't it? Because if you blame your situation on what you don't have, it makes you a victim. You throw up your arms and say, I don't have power. It's God's fault. God, you said you could give me a better job. That aunt that just is going to give me that inheritance, Lord, she's living way too long. I mean, I love her and all, but, you know, she is 86, Lord. Could you, you know, speed up the process? I think she wants to meet you, Lord, soon. She really does. No. Don't blame it on God, because if it's all about what you don't have, then you're the victim and you can't do anything about it. But it's when it's about what you do have, then you're no longer the victim. You have the power to change your circumstances. And here's what I believe. I believe that it starts, this woman looked at what she had and she despised what she had. She looked at what she had and she said, this is nothing. And I'm going to die. And my son's going to die. And we're going to make our last meal, and we're going to curl up in the corner of our house, and we're going to experience a slow starvation. And when our ribs are showing, and when my son's belly is swollen with the acids of no food, then his sunken eyes are going to close in his sleep, and our neighbors are going to find us one day and say, poor widow. She didn't even have money for a proper burial. And maybe if they have mercy, they'll dig a hole in the backyard and they'll shove the bodies in and cover them up, and that'll be the end of her life. She was already thinking that way. I'm going to eat my last meal. I'm going to die because I don't have enough, because what I have is nothing, because what I have can't help me, because I envision my future. My future is I don't envision me getting out of this. I envision myself going down. I envision bankruptcy and failure. I envision poverty and death. I envision starvation and need. She already had her mind set in that direction. That was her future. That's the image that had been pictured in her mind. That's what she dreamed about when she went to bed at night. That's what she saw when she looked at her son. She didn't see a future and a destiny. She saw death and poverty and ultimate defeat in her life. That was her vision of the future, because what she saw, she began to despise as nothing. If God is going to work in your life in economic difficult times, fear is going to try to come and paint a bad picture of your future. But I believe it starts by looking at what you have and being thankful and grateful for what you have. You see, some of us turn what we have into a curse. We look at what we have and say, it's nothing. This old rusty old car, it's nothing. This house has leaks. This is nothing. This paycheck that I get, it should be a lot bigger than this. I despise it. This old furniture, man, when I bought it, I liked it. Now look at it. It's nothing. A lot of us go around our life looking at what we have and we despise what we have. We're not thankful. We're not grateful. We don't bless God. We don't say, thank you, Lord. We look at what we have and we're discontent. What God gave to us as a blessing, we started to look at as a curse. And our mindset has changed. And instead of becoming a blessing to us, it becomes a curse to us. Because whatever you curse becomes a curse. Whatever you bless becomes a blessing. That doesn't just happen in economics. It happens in relationships and marriage too. Some of you prayed for a husband. Oh, give me a husband, Lord, a husband. Oh, Lord, if I just had a husband, husband. You gave it to a husband. And 4 years into it, you're like, oh, this guy. Lord, you could have done better than this. And you were all into him when you got married, and now he's like a curse to you. Oh, do I have to go back home to him? You know, what God gave to you as a blessing now has become a curse, and you despise what God has given to you. And I think it starts by stopping and saying, I am not a victim. It is not about what I don't have. It is about what I do have. And what I do have, God, I will bless. And I will thank. And I will manage according to your principles so that you can bless me with whatever more you want to bless me with. But what I have, I'm going to thank you for. So you get up in the morning and you say, oh, Lord, I know this isn't the best. You know, there's a couple springs in this mattress here, but thank you that I have a bed and a mattress to sleep on. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this house that I have because I didn't have to sleep in the rain today. And oh, yeah, it may not be the most modern, but bless you, Lord, because this is a house of blessing. And thank you, God, that I have wheels on my car that take me to work, and they may not be the most modern, and it may have a few extra miles, but bless you, God, that I have a car. And thank you, Lord, that I have a couch to sit on. And thank you, Father, that this check might not be the biggest in the world, but thank you that I have a job, Lord. And thank you that I have a bank account. And God, whatever you have given me, I bless you and thank you and honor you, for you are good. And I will not curse what you bless me with. You see, you look at your stuff and you bless it. You honor God with what you have. And I believe that is the first way that you start to build on your way out. You start to build. I believe there's this huge thing. I believe that the enemy is always trying to turn into a curse what God has blessed us with. Oh, hear me well. It's happened since the book of Genesis. God blessed Adam with a wife, Eve. And immediately the enemy wanted to turn it into a curse. He blessed him with a garden. He tried to turn it into a curse. Bless him with children, tried to turn it into a curse. Everything that is good of God, the enemy tries to turn into a curse. And we have to work hard at saying, this will not be a curse. This will be a blessing to me. I refuse to let it be a curse. What you have given to me a blessing, may it be perpetually a blessing to me. You see, when we mismanage what God has given to us, it turns into a curse. God gave manna from heaven, and people, well, the first time God gave manna means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. It was God's provision from heaven. And they took the manna, and God said, I will give it to you day by day. And some of it took it, put it in buckets, hoarded it in their tent. And the next day when they got up, it turned to worms and maggots. Why? Not because it wasn't a blessing, but because they mismanaged the blessing that God was giving them. What God intended to be a blessing turned into a curse to them. I believe the enemy is constantly trying to turn your marriage, the spouse that God gave you, it was a blessing. The enemy wants to turn it into a curse. The children that God has given you, they are a blessing from God. I don't care how they were born or when they were born, if you think you were too young, or if you spent 30 hours in labor, let me tell you, your children are a blessing from God. And they were meant to be a blessing. They're called to be a blessing. And so you treat them and look at them and speak into their lives as they're a blessing and not a curse. Amen?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Surviving Economic Crisis, which is from Pastor Mark's series called God Economics, How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. Our Straight Talk message is called Surviving Economic Crisis.
I had a situation not too long ago with a house that we were in about 2 years ago. We moved houses. And at the time, I was going to sell the house that we had and just move into our new house. But the real estate started going really slow at that time. And so, not wanting to, I ended up being the owner of two houses. And I always thought, well, maybe I should get a house and invest. You know, so I ended up owning two houses. And so, I decided I would just lease the house that I had, that we were in. Now, I had prayed for that house, and it had been a house of blessing. We had Bible studies in that house. I had led a couple of my children to the Lord in that house. We had had devotions around our family in that house. We had had awesome experiences there. It was a great house, a lot of joy, a lot of blessing. God had provided it, and we knew this was a house of blessing. When we went to, we leased it to a person, worked out really nice for about a year and a half they had at least. And then at the end of that time, they decided to buy a house. So we had to find someone else to lease the house. So as we started looking around, boy, certain people that were applying for the house were like, scary. Sir, I want to apply. I have 12 dogs. They're all big Malamutes. And you don't mind, do you? And a pony and a little elephant and an alligator. And so we went through a lot of people looking in the house, and the time was running out. And how many of you know that the enemy loves, one of the ways he tries to turn something into a curse is through the power of fear. The power of fear. God has given you a body. He's given you health. You have a cousin that dies of cancer. And although he's given you a body, given you health, suddenly one day you wake up and just thinking about your cousin that died of cancer, and you wake up and you have a little backache. And then suddenly the very first thing that comes to your mind is what? Cancer. You try to block it out. Not cancer, but it persists. And then you cough a little. You think, oh no, it spread. It was a little pain in the back of my neck. Oh, it's gone to my brain now. You forget your keys in the car, and it's like, I know. My memories start to go. Call up your mother. Mom, have I told you recently I love you? Yeah, honey. Is everything okay? Yeah, I think so. Mom, I think I only have 6 months to live. Whoa, have you gone to the doctor? Not yet. Your mind is just going down the fear route. And it starts with the seed, and that seed grows and it snowballs. And suddenly what God gave you as a blessing, your health, now has become a curse because of fear. Now you don't have joy because of fear. With your children, it's the same thing. God gave you guys a blessing, but you get gripped by fear about their future, about their destiny, and suddenly every time you think of your child, it's negative, weightful, and anxious feelings because God gave them to you as a blessing, but now it's not a blessing to you. And so this house was starting to weigh on me. We got to get the right tenants. We have to get them. And so we were praying about it, busy doing all the other things. And it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. Finally, I went over to the house and I said, I'm just going to lay hands on the house. I have some praying over every room, oh Lord. And then I didn't even tell my wife I was going to do this, but I felt like God said, you know what? Keep it a blessing. Keep it a blessing. So I found a magic marker, a permanent magic marker. And I said, in my mind, I felt like I need to seal this house. Just kind of state that on the house somewhere. And so I went into the crawl space where storage is kept. And in bold magic marker along the beam of the house there, I said, this house will continue to be a blessing. And I wrote it. And I got out of the crawl space. Now let me show the house. This is a sign. This will be a blessing. This will not turn into a curse. The very next family that came to see that house loved it, and within a couple days leased it, and now they're fine, doing well, paying on time, and doing it. You know why? I really believe that it was an act of faith saying, God, what you have given as a blessing will not turn to a curse. Will not. God had given this woman some things, not a lot, but she'd given him a son. She had some oil. She had some flour in her house. And she needed to look at what she had and bless what she had and start with what she had. Number three, your biggest challenge will be to break your wrong thinking about money. See, a lot of us don't start with what we have. We start with what we don't have. And then oftentimes we think wrongly about money. The greatest factor to determine your financial health is not your paycheck, but it's how you think about your money. That's the greatest factor. How do I know this? Well, the scripture talks about it a lot. It talks about how we think about money, because how we think about money determines how we run our finances and what we do with our money. For example, we've all heard these stories. We've heard of the person that wins the lottery. You see, before they had the money, they had wrong thinking. And then suddenly they win the lottery and they get $20 million. And when they have wrong thinking about money, what happens is they get $20 million and within 5 years, they're bankrupt again. Now, how do you go through $20 million in 5 years quickly when you have wrong thinking? On the other hand, you take someone that has right thinking about money, and maybe they have an investment of $10,000, and with 5 years, they've grown that investment, they've multiplied. What is it about the amount of money they have? No, it's about the thinking they have about their money. It's the thinking, not the quantity, that determines how they do, but it's the thinking about money, how they view it as stewards, and how they see their money, the way they spend, the way they borrow, the way they invest, has to do with their thinking more than the quantity. Are you tracking with me today? Because this is huge. And some of us have wrong thinking, so whatever comes in our way, we will end up repelling any money and blessing that God gives us. And it doesn't go very far because our thinking needs to change. It's not that God's not giving us the resources. It's as soon as God gives us the resources, we mismanage the resources because we have wrong thinking about it. This woman, it tells us that she said, I'm gathering a few sticks to take home, making a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, because he sensed in her that what was driving her finances was fear. And he said, do not be afraid. You see, if you are running your life out of fear, you will make wrong decisions. Fear-induced thinking is always a thinking that will lead us to make bad decisions about everything in life. Fear is not the motivation that should guide your decision-making. Faith should be the motivation that guides your decision-making. I've had this conversation, believe it or not. I remember a conversation with a girl that was about 21 years old, sitting down, and she's crying. I said, what's wrong with you? And she's explaining to me that she's in this relationship with this loser. And he doesn't have a job, and he just got out of prison, and he's abusive, and he's unfaithful, and he's cheating. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. And why are you dating this guy?
I'm already 21.
And I may end up alone all my life. I'm getting old. What? So fear of ending up alone, and you're 21 years old, so you're gonna stay in a relationship with someone that's unfaithful, abusive, non-caring, you're supporting him, just totally wrong, and you're gonna embrace this relationship because you're afraid of being alone? You see, that's a fear driven decision, totally based out of fear, not out of faith. You see, faith would say, wait a second, I'm not married to this guy, so I can make decisions about this. So I'm not married to him, so I'm going to get up, and I believe that God has something better for me. And I believe that that God is in control, and I'm going to pray and believe for someone that's equally yoked with me, spiritually on the same page with me, someone that loves God and loves me and is faithful to me, that I'm not going to have to be smelling his clothes and checking his emails all the time to see what woman he's been with, but someone that's faithful. I'm believing God for that. That's a faith-based decision, not a fear-based decision. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You don't make your decisions based on fear. You make your decisions based on faith, on trusting God.
This has been our message entitled Surviving Economic Crisis. Join us again as we start part two tomorrow, What to Do with Anxiety. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. We hope you've enjoyed the broadcast. Please do join us again for the continuation of Pastor Mark's series called God Economics. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tell a friend about our Straight Talk program as well. On behalf of Pastor Mark and our Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great night, and God bless.